This week on It's So Bad, sports may not be taking place, but we're still talking about them as we add our first hockey game and fourth sports game to the endless list in Blades of Steel for the Nintendo Entertainment System. And welcome, Chris, to the podcast. Welcome back.
Michael, hello.
How are you doing in this godforsaken time that we're living in?
You know, I think I've, you know, there are parts of this new normal that I've just kind of adjusted to. But, you know, one thing I have not adjusted to is the lack of sports.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that brings us to where we are today.
So did you watch any of the NFL draft?
I watched a little bit. You know, even with nothing on, I really just can't watch the draft. It's just really
boring.
Although I did enjoy watching Goodell get really comfy in his office and just kind of hanging out in his leather recliner and just, you know, when he stopped caring, that's pretty much how I felt too.
The problem with the NFL draft is that they do like, the clock is what, 10 minutes in the first round? That's like way too long. Between picks. Yeah. And yeah. Then the teams will call in their picks, right? So right. It'll say the pick is in, and it'll be 5 minutes before they announce the pick. It's so long. It takes forever.
You know, like, you know, I had no real reason to watch it. Like, I think now I'm pretty much more into college football, I think, than I am to NFL, but I was also like a very late bloomer to college football in general.
Right.
But so I pretty much watched just to see where the people who are on the Minnesota Gophers, like where they landed in the draft. And my boy, Ty J, going to Tampa Bay. And then Rodney Smith ended up in Carolina. So, you know, that was the only interest I took in the draft, is to see where two random Minnesota Gophers players ended up, although I think Rodney Smith actually was signed after the draft. So there you go.
Well, Chris, we are talking this week not about football and also any other sports that might be going on. I don't think there's any sports going on in the globe. I saw that actually Tajikistan there, they just canceled their league and they were like one of the last leagues playing. I was talking to somebody else that said that they were betting on Belarusian football games because there's no other sports going on. But
well, if that's what you're gonna do to get your fix, that's
you probably
I don't know, even I wouldn't sink that low.
You probably have a problem, let's just say that.
You know, it's a podcast for a different time, but there is still sports entertainment going on. That's a whole different podcast right there.
Yeah, so you can subscribe to our
you can get your wrestling fix still, is not to leave people hanging as to what I meant by that.
Yeah, of course. And you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. But this week we are adding Blades of Steel, the hockey game from the NES, the Nintendo Entertainment System, and also from the arcades to the Endless List, which is our list of games, lots of games. Currently it's at 75 games. It goes from Super Mario 64 all the way down to Jurassic Park Trespasser. Every week we add, or most weeks we add a new game to the list. It's an ongoing effort to rank games by how good they are, their graphics, how their gameplay holds up, what their legacy is, etc., etc. And so this week we're adding Blades of Steel. And so what is this game, Chris?
Well, you know, it's a little bit of an arcadey style hockey game for the Nintendo Entertainment System. I think you could maybe even make an argument saying that it's perhaps the first fighting game for the... Well, actually, no. Probably the second or third fighting game for the Nintendo Entertainment System, with the very sweet hockey fights you could have in this game. But it's kind of like you took ice hockey, you know, the classic... first run NES game, and you kind of jacked it up a little bit and you get Blades of Steel.
You jacked it up a little bit. That's a good way to put it. It's probably from this time period, it's probably the most realistic hockey game. I know you said it's arcadey.
No.
But
I mean, how many icing calls did you get in this game? Offsides calls do you get?
Well, there's no offsides, but is there icing? I don't think there's icing.
So I read there's icing.
Oh.
But I have never had an icing call happen in this game.
I played a game that had three penalty shots that the other team gave to me.
Did you fight in front of your net? Is that how you got it?
Yeah, with my back to the goalie.
Listen, it's a very slimmed down NHL rulebook going into this game.
Right. But it is 5-on-5, and ice hockey was 4-on-4, so...
It's 3-on-3
for ice hockey. Ice hockey?
I think it's 3-on-3.
No, it's 4-on-4, buddy. I know my ice hockey.
All right.
Did you have this game back in the day? Back when you owned a Nintendo Entertainment System? When you were a child?
So, I did, and I still have my... I still have it to this day, and I played it on my retro AVS leading up to this episode. And, you know, I always liked it. It was more fun to play with my friends, but I think I was a little bit more of an ice hockey fan than I was a Blades of Steel fan. But I did have this. I did enjoy playing with my friends, but it kind of felt like it was like a little bit of like the times when I remember playing this, it was like I feel like we were kind of moving on to the NHL, like, 93, 94 games, and, you know, Blades of Steel was just kind of the nice little distraction to those probably much more far superior hockey games when I was a kid.
So I had I didn't have this game back in the day. I was, so you know, but other people who are listening to this might not know, I used to play hockey when I was a child, and I was very much into hockey growing up.
You were a goalie, right?
I was a goalie. And so I had ice hockey for the Nintendo, but I never had Blades of Steel, but I played it over my friends' houses so much, and I must have rented it so much that I just know this game, know everything about this game. But I never owned it back in the day, which was weird. But I definitely, because this game came out in 1988 for the Nintendo, and it came out in 87 in the arcades. And I definitely I played the shit out of it before a lot before the whole NHL. It's like a 5-year gap before a 4-year gap before NHL 93 really came out, which I think came out in 92.
Yeah, wait, so you played the arcade version of this too?
I have in the past, definitely. Yeah.
Mm. I don't ever remember I know we both are probably thinking of like the one really big arcade that we had couple towns over from our hometown. I don't ever remember seeing this in the arcades around us.
I think, you know, I used to go up to Stowe, Vermont for in the summer for vacation, and at the base of the mountain, I'm pretty sure they had this arcade, which was in the like right by the ski shop there. Nice place.
Oh, I see.
Let's play the shit out of it there. Yeah, this game too was, I don't know if you know this. It kind of, the arcade machine, I don't know if it's the same, it's got to be the same system as Contra, because it's the same like vertical screen orientation where it's like more vertical screen than it is wide, where it used to be like the square screens back in the day at arcades.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, Contra had that, and some of the other Konami games had that as well in the arcade versions. The arcade version is not, it's probably not as fluid as the NES version. It doesn't feel as good.
Hmm. And it's, you know, if you did not know for whatever reason this game was developed by Konami, like, they certainly let you know as you continue to play this game.
Yes, they advertise all of their games that are coming out soon or were out. So other games that have been added to this list, so Contra is advertised, which is weird because they use Gradius to advertise Contra and Jackal, which is weird.
Wait, so did Konami also do R-Type or just Gradius?
Just Gradius. I believe R-Type is Irem.
Oh, okay. Because you know where I was going with that is that ninja game that's on the Super Nintendo where like you can play all of R-Type as a mini game. I was just thinking, I was like, is Konami doing this across like multiple games? Is it like their gimmick? But yeah. I enjoy that little Gradius 10-second interlude. I kind of wish we could do like a little bit more of that, but.
So this game was known as Konamic Hockey. So Konamic, not Konami, but Konamic Ice Hockey in Japan, which was weird.
Yep, that's a weird title for a hockey game.
there's only, I believe in the U.S., there were only 4 hockey games released on the NES. Out of their library, that's 800-plus games. There is Ice Hockey, Blades of Steel, Wayne Gretzky Hockey, and Pro Sports Hockey. And like 2 of those games I never knew about growing up, Wayne Gretzky Hockey and Pro Sports Hockey.
I didn't know about that. I obviously know the Nintendo 64 one. I didn't know that that franchise started back in the NES.
Yeah, and also there's a Blades of Steel 99 that came out for the N64. Did you know that?
No, isn't there like an NHL-branded Blades of Steel too? Like an official NHL-branded one?
Yeah.
Or is that a different series altogether?
So there's N64 had a 3D, like, NHL-style game that was Blades of Steel 99. And it's supposedly terrible.
I've never played that. That's.
But back to the Nintendo for a second. There's 2 hockey games that weren't released in the U.S. There's a Kunio-kun ice hockey game, which I have imported, and it's pretty fun. Kind of like a World Cup for the NES, which is another Kunio game. Have you played the Kunio ice hockey game?
I have. I have it on a flash cart, but I haven't played it like that extensively. Just gave it a little test run, saw how it was, and I was like, okay, we'll come back to this someday.
It's not as good. I don't think it's as good as Blades of Steel or ice hockey, but it's interesting. You've got like special shots you can do, like in World Cup, where you can knock out your goalie and stuff, and you can like knock out other players and take them out of the game.
Yeah, it's just, I guess kind of actually just taking it back to this game itself. It's just when I think of like all these, all these other hockey games that, the Kunio-kun game, like playing them now, kind of like after the fact, I go, back when I was a kid, like, I just would not really have been interested in that. I enjoyed playing Blades of Steel as a kid, but even like back in the day, like I was much more of an ice hockey boy than I was a Blades of Steel boy.
Why did you like ice hockey more than Blades of Steel?
I think I just liked how you could like kind of, you can customize your own lineup, you could change your different size guys, and it was a little bit more like cartoony and a little bit more fast paced. And like you could do the was it no goalies and the frictionless ice codes. And I think, like, back in the day, like, when we were, like, kids, like, that seemed a little bit more fun to me. And Blades of Steel seemed like the serious hockey game. And I was like, this is too serious. I'm not ready for this show. Although I did enjoy the fights. The fights were quite fun.
Blades of Steel is too serious.
Times were wild back in, like, the late 80s, early 90s. I don't know what to tell you.
I would also say to you, too, that Blades of Steel feels much faster than ice hockey.
It does, like replaying it for the, well, unless like you ramp the speed up on ice hockey to like a point where it gets like ridiculous.
Oh yeah,
but because you can do that. This does feel much faster when you go with like just like the base settings, or compare this to the base settings of ice hockey.
So there's 2 modes in this. You can play an exhibition, which is just 1 game, and then you can play a tournament, which is a series of 3 games, which on 3 different difficulties. I think it's junior, and then college, and then pro.
Yeah,
are the difficulties. Right? Am I wrong?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And then you have 8 teams, 4 from the U.S. and 4 from Canada. You've got New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, and Minneapolis for some reason. And then you've got Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver, and Edmonton from Canada. There's no
NHL. Didn't you want to represent the original 6 teams? Didn't you want to do that?
What'd you say?
I said, didn't even want to represent the original 6 teams in this game.
I know. Why is Minneapolis included? I could see like Los Angeles because it's like one of the biggest cities in the U.S., but like Minneapolis? What? Why?
Yeah, like, I mean, I think there's no Boston. There's no Philly.
Well, Philly's not an original 6 team, my friend.
Philly wasn't original 6?
No, it's New York, Chicago, Toronto, Montreal, Detroit, and Boston.
Well, I won't question your hockey knowledge.
Yes, I have extensive hockey knowledge. But yeah, so other things, we mentioned there's fighting in this, and if you check somebody 3 times in a row without touching anybody else, then you go into a fight, and then if you tap your button quick enough, you'll go into like a real fight, which is like a side-scrolling fighting thing where you can punch high, punch low, block high, block low, and you have like, what is it, five pips of power, and if you get hit five or six times, then you, if you lose, you get a penalty, which is weird.
That's like the only penalty you get in the game.
Right, so if you lose a fight, you get the penalty. And if you get into a fight in front of your goalie, you get a penalty shot. So, which is like a different mode altogether. It's very like soccer-y. You like stand at the blue line and you shoot the puck at the goalie. And I was mentioning, I think maybe before this or at the start of this podcast, that I played one game and I had three penalty shots. I didn't get one goal off those penalty shots.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever actually done a penalty shot in this game.
Yeah, no, it's like weird. It goes to like an angle where you're standing on a different angle, and it's like you're standing on the blue line, and you just pick whether you want to go top left or top right or bottom left corner with the control pad, and then you press the shoot button and he shoots. And the goalie, I guess, just has to hope that they get there, pick the right angle, like soccer. Feels very weird.
Now, how did you feel the goalies handled in this game, you being a former goalie yourself?
I mean, the thing about this game is, if you really want to dominate the game, is as soon as it goes into your end, you focus on your goalie. You control your goalie and you don't control anybody else. And if you do that, you will win this game no problem. I was playing this game earlier today and I played a pro tournament and I won every game by at least 4 goals. And I think the first game, what did I win it by, like 10 on the most hard difficulty? So the thing is, like, as long as you're paying attention to what the goalie's doing and getting in front of the shots, you're fine. You'll eventually get the puck back from the goalie, or somebody will get in the way. I remember I stopped 8 shots in a row at one point because I wasn't paying attention to the defenseman. I was just letting him tee off and just blocking it. Got the puck back, went down the other end, and I scored a goal immediately on the first shot. And I was just laughing to myself.
So I guess I found the games overall, like, when you're, you know, I haven't played this game forever, and like, this is like, it has been like years and years since I played Blades of Steel, like, and when I found like playing it, like leading up to this recording, it was like these games, like, pretty fast paced, they're exciting, it was fun, it felt like an achievement, like scoring your goal, but also like, it is like pretty exciting when it's like you are focusing on your goal, you're deflecting shots. But also leads to like the one complaint, and I think you'll probably have this complaint too, based on what we were talking about offline, is that like you find yourself in these scenarios where, you know, like the opponent is like just kind of teeing off on you, and like your team is just not coming back to play defense or get the puck, and you have to like deflect like 5 shots before like your team is there in position to take the puck. And that was like the only thing I was like, why is this happening right now?
Yeah, that kind of sucks. And also, one of the most frustrating things in this game is when you're focused on the goalie, like, narrowed down, focused on the goalie, and none of your team's coming back. And then the puck will stop, like, 2 pixels in front of the goalie, and the goalie won't be able to reach it. And it's like, right. And you're like, oh my god! And then the other team keeps, like, bumping into your goalie and losing the puck. And it's just like...
I feel like every hockey game, though, has, like, that sort of problem, though, at some point, where it's like, you get that, like, poor deflection, and it just parks right in front of you, and you can't... Your goalie can't go out to get it, so you're just kind of at the mercy of, like, some, like, random opposing player just teeing off on you constantly. That's, like, that's... A lot of hockey games have that problem.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... These early games feel very much like an iteration on like the Pong, or like the early hockey like Pong style games from the 70s, where it was just a paddle and you had to block the shots from going in the net, and it was just a paddle and a ball, and you were like going back and forth the goalie is just basically like a paddle that you're blocking the ball from going into the net. So
It's a little unique in this game that you get the arrow to see like where the shot is going to head to, and so you can try to like kind of plan around that. But I think what the key is scoring this game, and you know, I think you're much better at this game than I am, so you can tell me if I'm wrong. But I think deflections are the key in this game right here, and I think that's probably what you want, that opportune situation where the arrow indicating where your shot's going to go and is very far away from the goalie is going to be. and you want to hit it at an angle so that like the goalie is going to deflect it in, I'm going to guess.
Yeah, yeah. If you stand at like the face-off dots and the opposing end and you shoot from there, when the arrow's in the middle, you're pretty much like 50% of the time going to score a goal because it's just deflecting off the goalie.
Yeah, I feel like every hockey game from this era has like their own like little trick to like
a sweet spot. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was like NHL like 93. It was like you could bump the goalie a little bit and get your shot in. But
yeah, 94 you could do a wraparound pretty easily. Like and do I used to be able to do a wraparound in that game and score like every time.
Did you find? Well, actually, let me ask you this: like, are all the teams exactly the same in this game? Like, there's no stat difference between the teams, right?
I don't believe so. I was unable to come across anything that suggested that, but it felt like as you played a tournament, the difficulty did ramp up a little bit. Because the last game that I played in the pro tournament, I won the game by 4 goals, whereas the first game I won it by like 10. And I don't know if the pressure was getting to me, but I think it actually, like, the AI got a little bit better. And I will say, like, there's a severe difference in the fights in particular between the difficulties because it is near impossible to win a fight at pro level. I won a couple, so it's not like it's not impossible, but it's much, much harder. You have to actually block as opposed to just hitting punches hard as fast as you can.
Yeah, well, my strategy going into the fights, especially at the higher difficulty levels, was to kind of, like, not make the first move, see, like, if they're, like, because you can see, like, if they're holding your hands up or down to more protect their body.
Right.
You know, kind of wait for that first move, and then I would just try to unload there. And I would try to, like, you know, maybe if, like, 2 or 3 hits in one area, and switch it up and just kind of hope for the best. And, but there were times, though, I just got my ass whipped in this game, and I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, so a couple other things about this game. I think it's pretty well known for its voice samples, which was kind of a rarity at the time for the NES. So you had a couple different things or voice samples. First off, you had, when it first started, the Blades of Steel voiceover. And then you also have Face Off yells. And then the most famous is, get the pass, get the pass, every time you pass it. And then, of course, when you get hit and you knock down, the guy goes, ah! Which is another voice sample. But yeah, this game's known for its voice samples.
Well, so to me, it sounded like, well, I know it's supposed to be get the pass, but I feel like what do you hear it say in the Nintendo version? What's your interpretation of what it said?
Hit the pass, H-I-T, hit the pass.
So I heard it go, touch the pass.
Touch the pass.
Which I know it's supposed to be hit, but like just the way it sounds like, touch the pass.
Yeah, none of it makes sense. Get the pass, which is what it is doesn't make sense at all. Get the pass. And I guess the arcade version, it's much clearer. That's why people know it's supposed to be get the pass as right. opposed to hit the pass. But what else is this game known for? We mentioned that they really let you know what the other Konami games are that are coming out because after the second period intermission, sometimes you'll get ads with a playable Gradius section, the Gradius boss fight, actually. It's like a shooter section on the Jumbotron that you play, and then you get an ad for Jacqueline Contra, which is weird for the time period.
Can you die in that Gradius minigame?
I didn't even try. You might. That's the only boss in Gradius. Is that boss that you shoot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's only one boss that repeats in the original Gradius, and people are going to yell at me probably for pronouncing it Gradius, because I think it's actually Gradius.
Is it Gradius?
Yeah.
But, well, it's funny, like, when I got that minigame earlier, I was, like, mashing buttons so hard to try to, like, kill that ship, and then I quickly started to realize, I was like, oh, wait, this is, like, not something that can actually happen. It's just like a little like 10-second like ad for Gradius.
Right. Well, it's not even Gradius. It's like, they don't even mention that game. It just is Gradius like the game, and then it says Contra Jackal and doesn't say Gradius at all, which is funny.
But hey, it was like, you know, it's not often you see advertisements in a Nintendo game, so I guess that makes it groundbreaking. You know, the two things that make it groundbreaking are the voice clips and the advertisements.
Sure, groundbreaking.
Yeah.
So, I think we're at a good point where we can start talking about where this is going to go on our ranking on the endless list. So, our ranking, we have, what is it, three other sports games on this list. So we have John Madden Football 93, we have Madden NFL 2004, and we have Tecmo Super Bowl, which is number 15, which is our top sports game. So, do you think, just on the surface of it, for first question, this game is better than John Madden Football 93, right?
Yes, okay. I would agree with that.
All right, now let's take a look at some Nintendo Entertainment System games that are in between this game and Madden. Because I don't think it's better than Madden NFL 2004. I wouldn't put it above that.
I also agree with that.
Okay.
So, all right, well, we have set some Madden barriers here.
Yes, so we are in between there. Now let's talk about NES games that are in between there as like another comparable. There's three NES games in a row that are Paperboy, Deja Vu, and Pro Wrestling. And personally, I think this game is better than all three of those games.
I think I like Deja Vu and Pro Wrestling better, but I think that's a little bit more just personal flavor than, you know. Yeah, I mean, you know, I could see Blades of Steel going above Deja Vu and Pro Wrestling.
Okay. What do you like about, for example, Pro Wrestling's the top one there. What do you like about Pro Wrestling more than this game?
You know, I think it's we're now comparing hockey to, we're comparing Blades of Steel to like a pretty, like every team's kind of the same. The only thing that changes is the color scheme. It is fun. It's fast paced. It's exciting. The fighting system is fun. Like, especially when you're playing with your friends, like it was fun to get into fights with your friends. Pro wrestling though, like does kind of play like old school pro wrestling. Where it's like, you get these kind of exciting characters, they all handle a little bit differently. Like, you know, Starman is like the luchador guy, you get the Hulk Hogan-esque guys, like everyone's kind of got their own move sets. And but on the flip side though, pro wrestling is one of those games that like it scales up in difficulty as you play it. Like by the time you get to the end, like it's so frustratingly difficult by the time you get to the end. Blades of Steel doesn't really get there. It's a better multiplayer game, but I think pro wrestling is a better overall kind of experience. But if you don't enjoy wrestling, like you will probably not care about pro wrestling. So
I think pro wrestling laid down a template for wrestling games of that era and like games that would come out probably within the next 10 years, and that's important. I would say that Blades of Steel is probably a better two-player game. I think it's more interesting two-player game.
Oh, no, it's definitely a much better two-player game, right. Blades of Steel.
Right.
Yeah.
I think even the one-player is a little bit more interesting, just given that there's the difficulty levels of the tournament, the fact that there's, like, there's a scaling difficulty there that makes it a little bit, I don't know. I just think that there's more meat on the bones of Blades of Steel than there is on pro wrestling for me.
I guess I would say, you know, again, not understanding that Blades of Steel, I think, is very comparable to pro wrestling. Like, you have, I think it's six different characters in pro wrestling, and like all six play a little bit differently and have their own move sets. You know, I think that makes like you can play that that single player game in pro wrestling with all those different guys and have a much different experience, I think, each time through. But again, that's really just kind of focusing on pro wrestling. I mean, like, you know, I think Blades of Steel could go above it. I think because so many more people of our generation are probably going to have like much more fonder memories of probably playing Blades of Steel with their friends than they probably did playing pro wrestling. And I think that's kind of where the legacy thing comes into play.
Right.
But You know, Night Trap. I don't know. I never played Night Trap. That's the next game up at 59.
Yeah.
I refer to you on where this ranks with Night Trap.
I feel like it's a better game than Night Trap. It's just Night Trap was like the reason why we have ratings in video games, or one of the reasons why we have ratings in video games. This is quite important. It's an interesting FMV game, but it's not nearly as entertaining as Blades of Steel as a just a like a, from a gameplay perspective. Especially, you know, I think multiplayer is where this game makes itself like really makes it it's really shines as a multiplayer game, whereas, you know, Night Trap has a single player experience where if you play through it once, you kind of get what it is, and it's campy and there's a cool singing sequence, but the actual gameplay is terrible. So I would put this game above Night Trap. I definitely wouldn't go above Godzilla Save the Earth.
Well, I was going to say, so I have no experience with Pokemon Snap, which is number 58, and then number 57 is Godzilla Save the Earth. Yeah. All right, well, so, you know, so you're saying you would not put it above Godzilla Save the Earth.
Yeah, I would have difficulty putting it above Pokemon Snap, too, because I think that's such, like, a unique experience it's like a photo game, right? But it's basically a shooter, like a rail shooter, which is super interesting concept, and I think they do some really creative things in order for you to get the pictures of the Pokemon in that game. So that makes you play the game over and over again. So I would put this game at 59 myself. I think that's a good spot for it.
So it would usurp Night Trap and hang a little bit below Pokemon Snap?
Right.
Oh, good. I wasn't ready to make all sorts of arguments for why Godzilla Save the Earth should be about this game. But so,
I'm not going to fight with you on that one. But would you like this one to be our new number 59? Is that good? Can we agree on that?
You'll get no arguments from me on that one.
Cool. So we have a new number 59 on our endless list. It is Blades of Steel, our first hockey game. I think there's a couple hockey games that will go higher than this game. A lot of hockey games, actually.
I was going to say, probably most every hockey game we talk about after this will probably go above it.
I have difficulty putting ice hockey above this game.
Well, you know, maybe when that day comes, that's going to be a barn burner of an episode. But, you know, yeah. it's going to take more than just you and I to figure that one out.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up with ice hockey. I think it's a great game. I just don't know if it's better than Blades of Steel. We'll really have to sink our teeth into both those games in order to understand that when it comes to it.
Yeah, well, you know, you are the one that played hockey here, so.
There's I think NHL 93, 94, 95, 96, they all go probably above this game. I think Wayne Gretzky's 3D Hockey, both those games, there's two of them. There's the original, and then there's Wayne Gretzky's 3D Hockey 98. I think they both go above it. There's like NHL Hits probably goes above it, even though I don't have like a depth of experience in that game. But there's a ton of hockey games out there that were really great that we'll eventually get to and add to our endless list. There's also terrible ones. Like I found that the other game that we didn't mention that is a Famicom only game.
Oh yeah, you sent me that. Yeah, or you sent our group chat that. And I looked at that. I was like, oh boy, that's wretched looking.
Yeah, so there's Ice Hockey, Blades of Steel, Wayne Gretzky Hockey, Pro Sports Hockey, and then Japan got the Kunio Ice Hockey game, but they also got a game called Stick Hunter: Exciting Ice Hockey, and that game looks wretched, as you said, terrible. So I'm very excited to play that game eventually.
Listen, we need something to contend with Trespasser at some point. I don't know if that's going to be the game, but, you know,
we need
to find some games to compete with the bottom of this list as well.
Oh, absolutely. We haven't added a really bad... Like, there's... on this list, there's only, like, a handful of really bad games, which is we need to add to the badness as well as the goodness, everything.
Well, so. when we were getting ready to record earlier tonight, you texted me, said you're going to be ready. I said, don't worry, I'm playing the Untouchables for the SNES. You know, that could be a Trespasser contender right there is what that could be.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, I think Trespasser is very ambitious, and I think there's obviously some serious flaws with that game. But it's like, it's got the fact that it's ambitious, it makes it is going to put it ahead of so many of these bad games that were just terrible games all around. So there's a lot of games we could add.
Yeah, so don't worry out there. All you guys listening out there, we are we're going to be scraping the barrel in the future.
We're working on it.
For all of your entertainment.
Cool. Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining me today as we are, again, socially distancing. All right, guy. We'll talk to you.
All right. Well, see you around the bend.
Oh. Should I mention also that you can find the complete endless list in our podcast description and on our Medium page. So it's linked there if you would like to check out the complete list. And we'll be back next week for another episode.
Well, see ya.
Bye.